and spent nearly 2 months, about 7 weeks across with a church in the United States. And just to share a bit more about that and give a bit of testimony and development with all of that. So that was a church across in Oklahoma City in the Deep South in America. And that was really a connection came about there with the pastor of the church. It's Assemblies of God, loosely connected to it. But the pastor of the church has spoken across at Grapevine and that sort of thing at various events in the UK and is quite connected with the Ground Level Network and Stuart Bell. And to cut a long story short, I'd connected with this pastor across a conference down in Lincoln, and a friend of mine went to be an intern at his church, and then I guess further the relationship with this pastor through that. And you know, sometimes in life you just feel that God connects you to certain people. Sometimes they're people that you're really called to minister an input into their life, and other times there's those that are maybe spiritual fathers or mentors, those who are further ahead of you in the Lord in many different regards that God calls you to come and learn from and be a disciple of. So he asked me, because I'd already been sort of catching up with them on, from get to do some travel with them and driving with them and catching up on FaceTime about once a month anyway, just to ask them questions on leadership ministry. And he invited me out for a season, and it just seemed, just saw the hand of God in it all, being able to be out there for a couple of months between serving the church from Wolverhampton and then the next step, and it all just fit together. So that was great to be able to do some ministry out there and speaking to the sort of college, university students' age, and speaking to they have a Christian school. We're speaking to some of the teachers out there and sharing a few things. But it was just great because in every conversation and meeting that this pastor had, I had the privilege of being invited into those meetings and just being a fly on the wall and ask him questions and things beforehand about his thought process and in various pastoral conversations and that. So I found it so helpful and so strategic for the next season of my life. And one thing I really picked up on, a leadership proverb, a leadership axiom, but it works across the board, is in the illustration of a bank account. He was encouraging me that in relationships that God brings us, in covenant relationships, that we need to make more deposits than withdrawals. If you had a bank account and kept withdrawing money, there'd be no money in it if you didn't put deposits in first and foremost. So he's just encouraging me in ministry, in my life as a Christian, to be encouraging and validating of others and making more deposits all the time in the lives of different people before making withdrawals, and found that really helpful in so many other things. And in that process, there's good friends I have across the Bridge Church in Lincoln, Assemblies of God Church across there, that I've known since I was at Bible College, and the connection came through them. And they've been overseeing a church across in the Willows Community Church, across in a council estate in Grimsby in northeast Lincolnshire. And there'd been some partnership there. And the friend of mine in Lincoln, who's the associate pastor there, was the interim leader for this church in Grimsby. And there wasn't a leader there available. And they mentioned if I'd like to come in through a strong place of support from this other church and Bridge. Because, you know, I really believe in the value of partnership and partnering together for God's kingdom. And just prayed about it. And a few other prophetic things and confirmation. And just felt it was the right next step. So as I think Russ alluded to, kind of already in that process of transition, working with my friend Julian, who's been the interim leader there. So there's an overlap period of about 2 months. So started on the ground there working. I'm just excited for everything that God wants to do there across in Grimsby. It's the only Assemblies of God still in the area. And there are obviously a few other churches, so working in partnership there. But there's an area of 150,000 people in that northeast Lincolnshire area. And I just think there's so much potential of everything that God can do in that area in the future going forward. So it's an area not with a big Christian population or necessarily large churches there. So there's so much potential for God to do things and really break up hard ground. So I continue to appreciate your prayers and support and encouragement and all of that. And I've mentioned it to a few, but I have an induction service on the 17th of July, and it starts from 5:30, and then it sort of the doors open from 5:30, there's refreshments, and then starts across at 6. So any of you be welcome to come with that, but I appreciate it's a long travel, over 2 hours, 2.5 hours to Grimsby, but you'd be more than welcome to come to that. So the topic that I want to share after giving a bit of update this morning is the power of persistent faithfulness. So for those of us who are taking notes this morning, the title would be The Power of Persistent Faithfulness. You know, it's interesting in our culture today, we've become so fascinated by success. we talk a lot about success in business. You adopt these principles in business life, you'll have a successful business. We talk about successful living, you know, and it influences how we think as Christians in church life. It's even more so in the US, but here across in the UK, the idea of, you know, you apply these principles, successful model of church, and you'll see church growth and all these things. But I just want to give us this perspective that true kingdom success is defined by persistent faithfulness to the call of God. True kingdom success is defined by persistent faithfulness to the call of God. Gabriel Wilson said this: success in God's kingdom is loving God, loving one another, and being faithful to what he's called us to do. Now, each and every one of us in our lives as Christians have a call in our life, a mandate from the Lord for the things that he's asking us to do. And so often we've seen that it's just the leaders of the church. You know, it's just Patrick, it's just Rachel, it's just David that are those that are called by God, those that are the leaders, those that are the ministers. We may not have a call to work for church or be a prophet, pastor, a teacher, or evangelist in the traditional sense. But I want us to shift from that mindset, because each and every one of us in our lives as Christians have great potential, great destiny to influence others for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. We're all calling to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our sphere of influence. And like we've heard this morning, the theme throughout everything, and I think it's so important that now as the church we need to rise up more than ever and get a revelation and understanding of our call to be the hands and feet of Jesus, of our call to be agents of peace and transformation in this community and in those that we're around. And I put this on Facebook the other day, and Phil was alluding to it in the midst of all the shakiness that's been going on. Hebrews 12, verse 28, and it says, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. And we need to get that revelation now as the church more than ever that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And we can't just look to the leaders for this, but each and every one of us as the body of Christ to rise up with that understanding and be unshakable and be a voice of peace and carry the peace of Jesus into our spheres of influence. Receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. It's interesting, I was across in, when I went to the US, we had some time to travel across in Colorado. And for any of those that have seen it, you know, it's more wilderness and untapped areas than like the UK and our nature reserves and that sort of thing. And they have these massive rocks and boulders and you just couldn't shift them. And just that picture sprung into my mind as I was looking at this message and preparing that that's our calling. And the Bible uses that language, upon this rock, I will build my church. And we need to get that understanding and understanding that that is our calling as the church, to be a rock, to be that unmovable, unshakable voice of peace and of unity in a shaky society. So just looking at on the theme of faithfulness and persistent faithfulness, and I believe that God is looking for people who are persistently faithful in the things he's asked them to do as individuals and corporately as a church here in Birtley. And this message, if you like, is kind of the other side of the coin in many ways to the message I shared across in March. I was talking about climbing higher in faith. So we're not just looking at faith, but faithfulness. And it's actually the same word that's translated there in the Greek for faith and faithfulness. It's the word pistis, where we get the word faith or trust. But the difference between faith, often we can have, you know, faith, a burst of faith in one particular time in our lives as Christians. But the idea of faithfulness is that we're continually trusting God. We're continually faithful in the things that he's asking to do over a long period of time in the midst of certain uncertainty and in the midst of storms. And I think we just need to get that perspective now more than ever. So truth, faithfulness in the kingdom of God is consistently trusting the Lord over a long period of time. Joyce Meyer put it like this. She said that faithfulness is not doing something right once, but doing something right over and over and over and over. And I just remember a time that the Lord really began to build faithfulness in my life as a Christian. I was involved at a church plant across in the second year of my year at Bible College across near the East Midlands Airport with an evangelist there who was setting up a church. And it was hard work, and it was exciting, everything that God was doing, but very hard work in the midst of it was traveling there twice and sometimes three times a week to be involved in this church plant. And they didn't have their own building like we're blessed with here, so we had to pack up and set down all the time and involved in lifting big heavy speakers and drum kits and all that sort of thing. And sometimes it was thankless work, but God had to build something in me that I'm living for one set of eyes. I'm living for Jesus. and showed me to be faithful in the midst of that. And it built something in me. And I think, you know, we need to have that attitude and perspective as Christians, that we're persistently faithful in the things that God's asked us to do. Because how many of you know that there's always a blessing and a heavenly reward for persistent faithfulness in our lives as Christians? But I think we can only be faithful to God's call and purposes when we first understand his faithfulness towards us. We're going to be faithfulness to God's call when we understand his faithfulness first towards us. And to do that, we need to remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God, of the promises of God throughout Scripture. Remind ourselves of all the instances in our life where God's come through and we've seen breakthrough and he's been faithful in our lives. You know, Bill Johnson, who leads a church across in California, puts it like this. He said, "If as a group of Christian friends you went out to dinner and you only ever talked about the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God in your life, it would just change your perspective on so many things. It would change the spiritual climate and environment of the whole restaurant that you went out to." And I think that's so true, that reminding ourselves of God's faithfulness and goodness in our lives. Amen. So I just want us to look at the power of persistent faithfulness through the life of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. So for those who've got your Bibles, and I won't read the whole passage, although it might be good in your own time to go away and read it, reminding us the story of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. So I'm reading from the ESV, so if you're from a different translation, it might be slightly different, but I hope you can follow along. Acts 10. "At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, 'Cornelius,' and he stared at him in terror and said, 'What is it, Lord?' And he said to him, 'Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea.' When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants, a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa." And I just want us to focus in on the life of Cornelius this morning. And again, for those who are taking notes, I want to just give three of the effects of persistent faithfulness in our lives as Christians. Three of the effects of persistent faithfulness in our lives as Christians. And the first effect of our continued faithfulness is that it makes a meaningful impact in the lives of others. Persistent faithfulness makes a meaningful impact in the lives of others. Cornelius, as we read here, was consistent. He was persistent in giving sacrificially to the poor. He was consistent in praying continually, Scripture says. He was persistent in his devout fear for the Lord. And, you know, his sacrificial generosity that we read here was so countercultural to the attitudes of his day. You know, I studied a bit about Roman religion in the first century, just looking at this passage of Scripture, and their whole understanding in the first century was that they had many different gods, and then if you gave money to a particular deity, if you gave money to a particular god, then you would get riches back, or you would get prosperity, blessing, and protection over your household. So Cornelius and the culture of his day was so contrary to the culture, and it was given sacrificially to those who could never give back. And it's similar mentality today. You know, all the things that we've heard about the EU and economic instability potentially and all the questions surrounding that, the tendency and the wisdom of our culture, of our nation, would be to say, well, to not give, to look after our money, keep it for ourselves, hold back, not be sacrificial in giving of our finances and our time to other people. You know, I got to do a lot of traveling recently on different airplanes, and it took a few flights to get back from across the States to Newcastle, and you know, you hear the safety demonstrations, don't you, in the airplanes about, you know, fit your own mask first, about fitting other people's masks. And it's just interesting that there's a me-centeredness in our society, and we need to have the heart like Cornelius that puts others first and seeks to look beyond our own interests and our own lives and make an impact in the lives of others. Cornelius was persistently faithful in giving and praying, and it made an impact on the lives of others. See, Cornelius' faithfulness, if we went on to read the story here, his faithfulness opened a door of salvation, not just for him and his own encounter with God and his own experience with the Lord, but resulted in his whole family coming to Christ, resulted in revival in his household. And his family here was the first spirit baptism in the Gentile world, the first experience throughout Scripture of the Holy Spirit being poured out on a Gentile family, a non-Jewish family, and they're beginning to speak in tongues. And theologians have talked about the theology of first things, and every time you read something as a Genesis, as a first thing in Scripture, it's very important, so we take note. And God used Cornelius in that process of seeing great breakthrough and transformation. So I just want to challenge this idea that we have our personal faith and our personal religion, and it's just between me and Jesus. But actually, I believe that our walk with the Lord should be loud and impact the lives of others around us. And I think I've said this quote to you before when I've been speaking here, but Francis of Assisi said this, and we alluded to another Francis of Assisi quote this morning. But Francis of Assisi said this: preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary. I think that's so true in our lives as Christians. Our actions, the character, the nature, the atmosphere of Christ in us should flood out to the world around us, should flood out to others, and people should see Jesus shining through us. And, you know, like we've all touched on this morning, the world needs to see that unshakability, that peace and that unity in us as individuals and corporately as a church now more than ever. We had a lady, it was not the church I'm involved with at the minute, but another church across in Grimsby, a prophetic voice to the nation, a lady called Rachel Hickson. Some of you may have heard of her. She was involved with Reinhard Bonnke's ministry a number of years ago, and she's based in Oxford and travels around different churches and speaks prophetically. And she, it was a few days before the referendum, and she was sensing different prophetic things for the nation. Obviously, she hadn't known the result then at that particular period in time, but was just prophesying for our nation a great change is going to come to the land. And she was quoting Charles Dickens saying, you know, the best of times and the worst of times are ahead across this land. But she saw a picture, just she had a sense of God just bringing great unity in the church in the midst of disunity on our nation. And I think that's so important, and feel that's really prophetic and strategic for the church of this land. So let's continue to pray for that and call that in, that we'd see a great unified church in this house, in different churches across our land, in the midst of disunity and uncertainty. Because when we have that unity, that's going to make an impact in the lives of others and our world around us. But you know, in the context of faithfulness, we can often be unaware that the effect of our witness is having on the lives of others, the effect of our praying, of our serving and giving. And you know, some of you, I've had this myself, often we're tempted to question, are we really being effective as Christians? You may think as a church, are we really being effective in reaching out to our world that doesn't know the Lord sometimes? We can face those temptations and questions, but I've come to encourage us that God is at work, that he's working behind the scenes in the lives of others, our families, our friends that don't yet know the Lord, and the witness that we're having, the character of Jesus that we're shining out, the prayers that we're praying, the things that we're believing for are having effect because God is at work behind the scenes. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, and this is really apt again for us this morning, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. There's power, there's great power in persistent faithfulness. We must never underestimate the effect, like Cornelius, of our praying, of our giving, of our serving in other people's lives. But I want to say that often it's the small unseen acts of great faithfulness and great kindness that make the greatest difference in the purposes of God. Often we think it's the big monumental things, but often it's the things behind the scenes, the acts of faithfulness, those that quietly serving, and like the things that we've got on this week, people that come and sacrificially serve behind the scenes. It's so important. And you know, all of you here would have probably heard of the ministry of Billy Graham and the great influence and impact he has had and is still having for the kingdom of God. And but if you look at the story and the testimony of his children, two of them now going on to have very positions of prominent ministry across the nations, and they actually attribute their spiritual legacy and heritage much more to their mum than their dad, Billy Graham, interestingly, because they said of their mum, Ruth, Ruth Graham that she got up every morning and she had a candle out and she was praying for the family consistently and consistently loving them and encouraging them and discipling them in the Lord. And I think that's so interesting. And often it's our faithfulness done behind the scenes, day in, day out, doing the right things that often make the greatest effect and impact in other people's lives. So that's so important. That's an effect of our persistent faithfulness, making an impact in the lives of others. The second thing I want to say is that our persistent faithfulness as Christians releases a breakthrough moment. Amen? Our persistent faithfulness releases a breakthrough moment. Our persistent faithfulness is the platform for a breakthrough moment with God. How many of you believe that to be true? And Cornelius, as we read here, he has this, I want us just a picture of this. All of these years of faithful service, of giving to the poor, counterculturally when no one was watching, of fearing the Lord in a godless society, praying continually, day in, day out, doing the right thing, and then one moment he has this vision, an angel of the Lord appears, one moment there's salvation into his household, this Holy Spirit poured out, speaking in tongues, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and a move of God into the Gentile world. Connected to his faithfulness. So our faithfulness releases a breakthrough moment in the purposes of God. Galatians 6 verse 9 says this, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And often often so much closer to breakthrough than we realize as Christians. Amen? Often we're so closer to a breakthrough than we realize. It could be a family member that we're believing for to be saved, a project that we've invested in, and we haven't quite seen the fruitfulness of it yet. I saw a meme on Facebook. For those that don't know, a meme is like a cartoon or a picture, often with funny writing on and silly writing on a picture or a cartoon on Facebook. And with this picture of this guy, some of you might have saw it recently, and he's digging a big pit, and he's got his axe, and he's digging this tunnel looking for treasure. He's looking for diamonds. He's digging a diamond mine, and then he walks away, discouraged, with his axe behind his back, and you see that there's just a thin layer of soil left, and there's a whole stack of diamonds on the other side. And I thought that was funny, but I think that's a good picture. So often in our lives as Christians that we give up too soon, and the next prayer, the next act of faithfulness, of serving, of believing for someone, releases a breakthrough, and then we give up too soon. So I want to encourage us of the power of persistent faithfulness. But often there's a spiritual law at work if we're looking for breakthrough in any given area of our lives as Christians. And we see this principle in the natural and farming and agriculture, but we see this principle in the spirit as well. There's a principle of seed time and harvest. We sow a seed of prayer. We sow a seed of giving, of loving, and of encouraging someone. And it takes a time before we see the harvest, very often, of breakthrough in a particular area. And it takes time to see the harvest and breakthrough come to pass. And across in the US, it was interesting that, I don't think I've ever, and our culture is becoming more like this, but I've ever seen a culture that's so pandered to the convenience of an individual or the convenience of a consumer. And we're getting a bit more this way across in the UK, but everywhere there's drive-throughs. If you've seen it across in the US, virtually every restaurant, you don't have to wait for your food to be ordered. You don't even have to get out of the car. They'll just come and deliver your food, or drive-through coffees, drive-through food. They've even got drive-through pharmacies. So you don't have to get out your car to get your prescription. They'll come and you can get your drugs through the window. All different kinds. Drive-through hole in the walls and ATMs. So you punch your money in and they'll give you the cash out before even having to get out of the car. And I think this attitude began to creep my thinking a little bit, because I found myself waiting in big queues in the airport as I come across in Europe getting back to the UK, and it began to get a bit impatient, thinking, well, I haven't had to wait in any queues across in the US, and then coming back to the UK I've got a few queues. But it's interesting that God's economy is not like this. There's a process of seed time and harvest for any particular breakthrough that we're believing for in our lives as Christians. But how many of you know that a delay is not a denial? We can believe for something but haven't yet seen it come to pass. But a delay in the purposes of God doesn't mean a denial. And one of our lecturers at Mattersea, John Andrews, used to say this, "Keep doing the last thing God told you to do until you hear otherwise." So I want to just encourage us in our lives as Christians to keep chasing after it, to keep believing in faithfulness, the things that God has promised for your life, the things he's promised over individuals and situations here this morning. Because like Cornelius, if we stand in faith and live in faithfulness and do not give up, we'll see a breakthrough at the right time. I guess the final thing I want to say to sort of land the plane this morning, the final effect of our faithfulness, our persistent faithfulness in our lives as Christians, is that it catches the attention of heaven and echoes into eternity. When we're persistently faithful as Christians, it catches the attention of heaven and echoes into eternity. We read here this morning in Acts 10, verse 4, the angel of the Lord appearing to Cornelius and saying, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God." And if any of you ever walk through a park or drive through a street and there's a big memorial, you can't miss it. I was driving in this morning and saw up the bank there. I'm not entirely sure who it was a memorial for. I think it might have been Edward Moseley, is it? Up the bank. But anyway, there's a big memorial and you're driving past and you can't miss this big thing. And that's the whole picture here, that the life that Cornelius lived, the sacrifice that he had, the things that he did, came up before the Lord as a memorial, and it caught the attention of heaven. So God values our faithful service more than we realize. And I think often when we look back in our lives as Christians, I wonder what the priorities of God will be and the things that he really values. Will it be things that we've led people to the Lord, or we prayed for someone that was sick and they were healed and God used us in all that? Or might it be the things that we've done with a heart full of love in seeming obscurity that really caught the attention of heaven? I remember times that when I was across at Bible College, and you know, the scripture talks about finding a prayer closet, and I took that very literally because there wasn't much space in this small cupboard-like room, so I'd shove my clothes to one side and get into this closet to come and seek the Lord and spend time in prayer. And I'm ashamed to admit that oftentimes I would fall asleep sometimes because it was dark in this hot little prayer cupboard. But anyway, there are great times of encountering God, and you know, I think it's things like that, the things that we do in obscurity that really catch the attention of heaven. And I know for me that was something that really built a hunger for the Lord in my life and developed my prayer life at an early age. And I want to encourage us that God looks to the condition of our hearts above the efforts of our hands. God's very often looking into our heart above the things that we do for him, the condition of our heart. You know, we look at King David throughout Scripture, such a heart of humility that really attracted the attention of heaven over his life. You know, he worshipped God. He wrote songs and poems of praise. He tended God's sheep in humility and obscurity, and it really caught the attention of heaven. Acts 13, verse 22, it says, the Lord speaking, saying, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart." So when we're persistently faithful in the call of God in our life as Christians, it catches the attention of heaven and echoes into eternity. Being persistently faithful catches the attention of heaven and echoes into eternity. I don't have time to unpack this a lot in terms of end time theology and looking at all of that, but I believe that Scripture teaches about two judgments. The first judgment being about what we did with Jesus, whether or not we trusted him for access into heaven, for salvation in God's presence, and that determines where we spend eternity. But I believe also there's a judgment of our works in terms of how we lived and our obedience for Christ, and that determines how we spend eternity. And again, not time to unpack that and look at that, but I think that's so true. I just say all that to say that how we live in this life as Christians matters. Our obedience, our faithfulness to the call of God has eternal impact and ramifications in our lives. And sometimes in this life, we receive the reward in here, receive our reward in here and now. Someone coming up to us and saying, "Hey, thanks, I really appreciate what you did there. I really appreciate how you encouraged me and helped me." But sometimes we don't receive our reward until we meet Jesus in eternity. Have any of you ever won an award? Why don't you just call out some of the awards that you've won, any different awards that anybody wants to share, a few different awards? Anyone?
Bronze Star Swimming Award.
Paul Harris
Award in Rocky for service to the community.
Oh, that's good. Anything else? Best chocolate cake, that's a good award. I know I won an award. It was in a golf competition. I think apart from my swimming badges, that would be the only reward I've ever won for a golf competition. I remember feeling so proud at that particular time. You know, I won this little golf trophy and, you know, thinking it was such a big thing when I was a teenager. But now it's dusty and it lies at the back of the cupboard and I don't have a look to it. But it's interesting, isn't it, the things that we place value on that don't really matter in the light of eternity. What are the priorities of God? We need to pray for heaven's perspective, for God's priorities over the things that we walk through in this life. And you know, the Apostle Paul picks up on this language. 1 Corinthians 9 talks about running the race for a crown that never fades away. Matthew 25, verse 23, it's Jesus speaking in the parable saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And there's a great missionary from Northern Ireland across to the people in India, Amy Carmichael, said this: "There have been times of late when I have had to hold on to one text with all my might. It is required in stewards that a man may be found faithful. Praise God, it does not say successful." And often we compare our successes in life, don't we, to others. And even as Christians, we need to guard against spiritual competitiveness and spiritual comparison, because each and every one of us as Christians, we have our own race to run. We have our own lane in the race that God has called us. And we all have our own callings and particular mandates, as well as a church, our own calling, our own mandate. And we need to guard against that sense of spiritual comparison with other churches and other ministries. And I think one preacher said this, that often we compare our worst moments with the highlight reels of others. So we see the external and how God's blessing somebody and use them in a particular area, and then we compare our worst moments to their highlight reels and don't realize the things that very often the sacrifice that it took for someone to get to the place that they've got. Mother Teresa said this: "God has not called me to be successful. He has called me to be faithful." And that's so important. True success in God's kingdom is being persistently faithful to the call of God over our lives and the call of God as a church family together. And I really believe that in eternity, because we all have our own races to run, then we all each receive the same reward for the things that God's asked us to do, as long as we're faithful and obedient to the things that he's calling us to do. So our persistent faithfulness as in the call of God and the will of God really catches the attention of heaven. And it leaves an eternal legacy in our lives as Christians. So I'd like to just pray for us as we bring all that to a close this morning before we sing another song. So Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for the eternal truth of the word of God that washes us, that changes us. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just help us and equip us by your strength and your power this morning, Lord, as individuals, corporately as a church family, to be a voice of steadiness and peace and unshakability in uncertain times, Father God, in this community and for those in our spheres of influence, that we persistently and faithfully show up and do the right thing and serve and love others in the way that you have loved us, Lord Jesus. So come now by your Spirit and just fill us and empower us, Lord, as we draw our hearts to you in this time of worship together. In Jesus' name, amen.